Thanks for joining us on the NRT Now podcast, part of the largest Christian music site online, newreleasetoday.com. Sit back and relax as we chat with your favorite artists, introduce you to new artists, and more. Now here's your host, Jake.
We're here with Eric from Boiling Point, and if I understand it correctly, you guys are from Minnesota, correct?
Yeah, that's right. We're from the St. Paul, Minnesota area, Twin Cities, more or less, so it's just kind of a large metro suburban area. I actually live in St. Paul, and the other guys kind of live in the metro. So
I got to say, I'm a little bit disappointed. I was excited that seeing that you guys were from Minnesota. I was like, sweet, we're going to have an awesome Minnesota accent. And here we are.
Well, you know, I think if we give it some time, it may show itself. But I'm fairly well traveled. I've lived in New York City. I've lived in Chicago. I've lived in Colorado Springs, Minnesota for a majority of my life. So, you know, I like say bag and I can do this stuff, but yeah. I think the fact that I've heard a lot of different accents throughout the years has softened my Minnesota accent a little bit. It's not like, you know, we're not going Fargo or anything on the bit and just totally getting crazy.
One of the things that's just awesome for me to see is just how, even in the States, we have different pockets of, you know, just different cultures and different accents. And even though we're all kind of from the same country, even though we all are still from the same country, we have so many differences. It's just so fun to see all that happen. And there's just sometimes you could just immediately pinpoint where somebody's from just from an initial introduction.
Yeah, even like, you know, how they say soda or pop, just some very simple words. If you know what you're looking for, you can figure out quite quickly where someone actually is from. And I've had this experience in my life. So when I was working in New York City, I was working at the St. Regis Hotel. It was like a 5-star, like super classy hotel. Like I talked to Jerry Jones, the owner of the Cowboys. I talked to like Pamela Lee. I talked to Robert Downey Jr. on the ready, like all these people. But there was like a model who was married to some guy who came into this hotel all the time. And she had traveled the world quite a lot because she was kind of a high fashion model. And I was talking to her, and this is the creepy thing. She's like, "Your family's from Scandinavia, aren't they?" I'm like, "They are, in fact, Sweden." She's like, "Yeah, I could tell that based on how you speak that you were from either Sweden, Norway, or Denmark." I'm like, "Your family of heritage." And like, that's like super creepy.
It's hilarious. And yeah, being from Texas area, or, you know, living in Texas area right now, you kind of travel through the South. There's just like an immediate sound that you think of when you think of the South. You know, certain accent they think of from the South, and you can just immediately say, "Oh, you're from Georgia or Alabama or wherever."
Yeah, totally. That's a very real thing. It's crazy.
What's crazy to me is that, like what you're saying, that one model, like some people are just so in tune to that, that it, like you said, it is almost kind of creepy. It's almost a skill within itself.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's one that I don't necessarily possess. Yeah. It's just like, you know, I can barely tie my shoes sometimes, and, you know, not going to start guessing where people are from prior to their landing in the United States.
The people who just go down that path, it's just amazing how people can tie so many generations and where people are from, and the whole genealogy conversation.
Yeah. My wife's family came over on like literally like the second boat after the Mayflower. So her family's been here since like the 1600s. It's just insane the amount of history that her family has in the United States. And it's just like all the paths that people took to get here are just so interesting to me. And the fact that my wife actually, she had martyrs in her family. Her family was originally Welsh, and they had martyrs. And when England was flip-flopping between Protestantism and Catholicism, and so like that would happen very frequently. And so there's all sorts of different things that happen to people based on their beliefs. And her family actually fled England because people had been killed because they were Protestants.
Wow.
Yeah.
And just to be able to trace it back that far is just crazy to me. And just the amount of time that it took to find all that. I mean, some people are like, "Hey, you know, I was related to Napoleon." I'm like, how do you know that?
Like, right. Yeah.
How long did it take to make that connection?
And how much time do you have to do all that work? that's a bone that I don't necessarily, well, it's probably that I just don't have time at this point to kind of dig into genealogy, but my wife's father definitely took the time to do the whole family tree and everything. And I think, like I said, I think the boat came over in 1646 or something. It was just crazy. And actually a couple of summers ago, I actually went out to Boston in the Cape Cod area and was able to track down some of her relatives in some of the oldest cemeteries in Boston and in the Cape Cod area. It was nuts.
Man, that's insane.
Yeah. Yeah. And some of them like just aren't there anymore because they were wood, right? They were like pilgrims. And like these things have just disintegrated and are, you know, no longer exist. So it's just, it's crazy.
I mean, as we're talking a little bit about this, just the history that comes into making what the culture we have today, it's just amazing to think of all the paths that kind of melded and that have come into just who we are. Like my mom did an ancestry. Oh man, was it either Ancestry or 23andMe? I can't remember what she did because my mom's huge into the genealogy side too. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I mean, I think she has part African in her. Wow. Of course we have some Mexican in us. My grandma is full blood Mexican. And I'm trying to think of what else she had in there, but there's some like real wild cards that happened in there. Man, it's just so interesting to see, you know, like the history from coming over on the boats, you know, early in the States to, you know, the Scandinavian that you have in your family and just all that, that just blends together for who we are now.
Yeah. And it gets even wilder when you start doing like, you know, breaking down the genetics, because my brother, my older brother was adopted. He played in the band for a while. He was the drummer for a while. But he did a DNA thing, and he was actually able to find his birth family based on the test that he did for his DNA. Wow. And just in the last couple of years has now reconnected with his birth family. And it's just like, it's just wild, just totally wild, the things that we can do these days.
I think that kind of goes to just how interconnected we are. Mm-hmm. As we look at what's kind of going on right now, we can see, or we kind of group ourselves into the us or them or whatever. And I think a lot of times we lose sight that we're just so interconnected that, you know, our paths have crossed so much in the history that there's just such a blend, not just nationwide here in the U.S., but all over the world that, I don't know, it just doesn't seem like there really is that much of an us versus them, because, you know, who knows what pieces we have from wherever.
Yeah, and we've, you know, I've been doing a lot of mission work and just travel in general, and the more you travel, the more you realize, I mean, and this is just in general, the more of the same we are than different. We all have kind of similar goals and aspirations and things we want in life. And I feel like that far outweighs kind of the things that pull us apart if given a chance. There's just great connection that can happen just human to human based on some very simple things like seeing each other for who we are.
I think that's a great, or this is a great point to talk about some of the mission work that is influencing the EP that's coming out. No, that just came out.
Yeah, it came out in June now.
Wow. Yeah, we were talking a little bit earlier. Like my sense of time is just like shot.
Dude, I just got off the road for like a week and my sense of time is like totally shot as well. I'm like, I barely know what day it is and I'm still kind of recovering from sleep deprivation and driving the bus to New Hampshire and back. Oh, but man. Anyway, yeah. I digress.
Yes. So you had the EP that came out in June. The mission work is a large part of the music and the influence and stuff. Talk a bit about your mission work and kind of what you've done through all of that.
Yeah. So, I mean, the whole record, it's either a very long EP or a very short record, I guess. It's 8 songs. But the whole thing was kind of inspired by Switchfoot's Fading West. I've been going to Sierra Leone basically every year for the last 10 or 11 years, right? I frequently talk about it in our concerts to try to get people to kind of think about what God might be calling them into. You know, it might not be going to Africa, but I feel like God whispers to us every day about things that we can do to bring hope to the hopeless and love to the loveless and be Christ's hands and feet to the world. And so basically we talked a lot in our concerts early on in our career about Sierra Leone and the clinics that we had built and the wells that we had rehabbed and the schools that we had built and things like this. And we always felt like people couldn't really wrap their head around it. This was about 2016. I mean, just felt God whispering, like, I think you need to go to Sierra Leone with a film crew and kind of show people what you're talking about so they can kind of get a new perspective on what you're talking about and also on their own lives in general, because, you know, Americans are blessed in ways that that they can't even fathom. So it was just kind of this opportunity to try to bring people into our world of mission. And like I said, we've been doing this for a long time. We started going in 2010 was the first time, but we work with a group called Africa Uplifted, and we had partnered with them to build a well that would act as a clean water source for a clinic. So the first trip I went on, I went to see this well and how it was kind of interacting with this clinic and all the good work that had come to the village and the neighboring communities, basically, because prior to this, they really didn't have access to healthcare, like, at all.
Wow.
Unless they went to a bigger city. And so now we were training nurses from other villages so that there could be kind of a system of care for people who needed even the simplest of things taken care of medically. So, but yeah, long story short, the movie and the music that almost serves as a soundtrack for the miniseries movie just kind of been this very crazy trust exercise with God, because in 2016, I just had no idea how we were even going to pay for it. Because, I mean, you know, we're not Skillet or anything. We're a poor band from Minnesota, you know? The thing I've learned over the past few years is that, you know, if God calls you to it, he's probably going to give you the tools to pull it off, even if it's hard. Like I said, it's not to say that all this is going to be easy, but, you know, the tools are provided along the way. And we finally got to the finish line in 2020.
Of all years.
Yeah. It's just, we filmed in 2017 and the movie was finally kind of done in 2020. March, and then COVID hits.
Well, I mean, Ebola, that'll be next.
Gosh, I hope not, because there was a year we couldn't go because of Ebola. They weren't letting anyone into the country. But yeah, we finished the full movie as it was a movie. It was like a 45-minute movie. And then COVID hits, and we're like, we have no idea how to release this now. And then we ended up breaking it into a miniseries, which only costs more money to edit. So then it was finally released in 2021. And the lead single by the same name of Hope Lives Here was released in January as well. And crazy, because I had no expectations for that song. It was just like, I think this is an okay song. Let's release it first so we can release the second song, which I think is going to be better. And Hope Lives Here went 26 weeks on the rock charts, which is just, for a band that no one's ever heard of, it was pretty awesome, you know?
Well, and I want to unpack something here real quick. You're talking about how us in America, you know, we're blessed in a lot of ways that we don't even know. And I think there's a few countries that can be said of. And I just kind of want to unpack a little bit of something that I feel that we have is like, that's almost kind of it can be a shame point. Like, you know, you don't know that you're blessed. With your mom's like, they're starving kids in China. Eat your food, you know?
Sure. Yeah.
And I just don't think that that's necessarily a shame point. I think we can be blessed to be where we're at, whether you're born into the right family or, you know, whatever it is. But I just kind of feel like it's more of what you do with it than where you're born, where you're blessed with, and just keeping the perspective. Is that kind of what you see from the mission work and stuff that you've done?
I think it's a great talking point. It certainly has served as a point of frustration at times for me, because the average salary in Sierra Leone is $300 a year. And so I don't say that we're blessed to be where we're at just to shame people. I do that to try to help people explore a world that they may have never known existed, right? As far as like $300 a year, most of us don't even think about that amount of money, right?
That's a Spotify subscription maybe? Maybe
Netflix?
Yeah,
exactly. And that's kind of part of the whole trying to offer folks just some perspective, because of how hard things can be for these people who basically live from day to day just trying to make ends meet. Most of them are farmers farming rice and hoping that the crop turns out well so that their family can eat, and so then they can also maybe have a little extra that they could sell to people on the side of the road or whatever. You know, I talk about this in concert, but most Americans have never heard of sand mining. In Sierra Leone, what this is, and I make reference to it in the second verse of Hope Lives Here, about a 12-year-old mining sand so that their family can eat. In Sierra Leone, there are two seasons, right? There's the dry season and there's the rainy season. What happens is that in the dry season, the rivers almost become streams. And then in the rainy season, those streams fill up to raging rivers. And what happens is they actually deposit sands from upstream to downstream. And then when the dry season comes back around, families actually go out and will by hand shovel big piles of sand until they have enough to hire a truck and then bring it out to the city or the side of the road so that they can then sell it to people who are building houses, because that sand serves as a base for the concrete and everything that people make blocks out of.
Oh, wow.
And you see like 6-year-olds and 7-year-olds and 8-year-olds doing this work so that their family can kind of make it, you know?
Yep.
That feeds into the fact that if they're trying that hard to just not starve to death, oftentimes the work gets put ahead of things like education and things that are going to actually hopefully help develop families in a country that really needs development. These are things that we just never have to think about in the United States, just never, ever, you know. Yep. Generally speaking, there are resources that we can access if we just put some effort in, right? As far as like jobs and things. Over in Sierra Leone, you have to be significantly more selective, or your options are significantly limited as to what you can actually do, because a lot of these folks are kind of prisoner to their circumstances. That's kind of the long answer, I guess. But my goal is never to shame people. It's just to try to offer people a view of something that they may have never thought about before or never seen. So that's always my angle at it, I guess.
I love what you say there, because, you know, I think it's about going and being love, finding love. As a Christian, you don't have to be worried about everybody in every country. You know, and I think that's also kind of a thing, too, is like, it's almost like you've got to worry about everything. It's like, where do I start? Or, you know, how do I have the bandwidth to care about the orphans in Africa and, you know, the orphans in China or and the guy down, you know, it's like, it almost kind of seems a little overwhelming. And, you know, I think
absolutely.
It's about find somewhere that you can love, find somewhere that you can make an impact. It could be in Sierra Leone. It could be in South Africa. It could be at the soup kitchen down the street, wherever. Just, you know, I think it's about finding something and sowing the love of Jesus somewhere instead of just holding on to what you got.
Yeah. Amen. And you know, like, it's not like God calls us to every act of compassion and mercy, right? I feel like if we're listening, God calls us to certain things, but I expect that other people are called to do the things that we're not doing. I mean, that's just kind of the way I look at it, right? Not everyone's going to be called to go to Sierra Leone and build clinics and schools and things and do that stuff. I think there's kind of a diversity of passions and compassions and things that kind of drive us to be Christ's hands and feet. I think it's just kind of opening ourselves up to listening to what that call might be on our lives.
And I think I'm reminded of the story or the part in the Bible where it says we're all many parts, but we're all part of the body. And
yeah,
I guess I've heard that before. It's like we all can't be the liver or the spleen.
Nor would we want to be. Those are like the nastiest body parts you could have.
I mean, I'm not sure anybody's going for the appendix.
Yeah, no.
Because, you know, that's kind of an iffy one. That can be cut out pretty quick, you know, but.
That's right. Yeah, no. That's awesome, man. So I'm good friends with David Zock. He's from Nebraska. We're from Minnesota. We've played shows back with them for a long time. And he and I, whenever we get together, always talk about kind of the currency of our lives and like being really thoughtful about kind of what we're going to spend our lives on. And I feel like if you have a relationship with Christ and you've been baptized, and this is where it gets a little theological, you know, baptism is basically this understanding that you are dying to yourself, go under the water and you come out a new creation, right? We're motivated then by Christ's motivations, you know, the things that motivate Christ and the things that his character, not our previous character, which probably wouldn't have cared a hill of beans for some random village in Sierra Leone, you know. We kind of surrender our lives with that act of surrendering to Christ. And again, Sierra Leone is just the way that we've found is a good use of the currency of our lives and the way that we can connect to people in a real way and make a real impact for the future of a country.
And make a video that takes 3 years to edit and gets turned into a miniseries and gets.
Yeah, exactly. It's so funny that you say that, because like even while we were editing that thing, you know, we released like an EP called Take Courage, just to like suggest to people that we have not died. We are still creating music. Something's happening. So we're like recording songs for the movie and we're recording songs for the EP, and we're like running out of money, and then we're finding money, and then we're moving it a step further. And it's just like, it was just such a process. Like the whole thing was like a 6-year plan. It was like, well, we're going to make this movie, and then an EP will be in there someplace so that people think that we're still a band. And, you know, hopefully by the grace of God, we'll actually release the movie. I guess we'll see if people even care, but it has shown up that people have actually cared, which has been a huge blessing. You know, this band has been going for 15 or 16 years, you know, like we've been going forever. And there was legitimate conversations that I was having with God about whether or not Hope Lives Here was going to be kind of the end of this band. I was frequently praying, you know, like, God, if you want this band to end, then we will end it and we'll close this chapter in our lives. And I will be grateful for the ministry that we had a chance to do. But if you want it to go past Hope Lives Here, we're going to need some signs and things, because it's getting really, 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 really hard. And, you know, then God kicked down the door. And it's kind of weird what happens when you just totally surrender everything, absolutely everything to God, and just also take on an attitude of gratitude, you know, like, just so grateful, God, for the people that you've put in our lives. And if you want this ministry to continue, then let's do it. And if you don't, then we're going to honor your call to put it to bed. So
I feel like video too, podcast video, sometimes the album releases, that's one of the toughest things to do, as opposed to like playing live, because you just kind of put it out there and you just cross your fingers and say, hope it was worth it. Hope all that money that we did for this video was worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. There's totally that, especially now that, you know, like Spotify and all these streaming things exist, you know, there's like some crazy amount of songs that are released like every single day. I heard the number once, like I just couldn't even fathom that amount of content being released every day, you know, and everyone wants to kind of release songs, and I get it, but it's just like, there's a lot of noise along with, I think, a lot of good stuff that's coming out as well, you know?
Yeah. And when you're playing live, when you hit a bad note or something just isn't landing, like you see it right in front of your face and it's like,
Yeah.
Oops. I say that. But on the other side, when something's really going good, you get that immediate feedback. You get that instant feedback.
Right.
You see hands raised or just people in it. Mm-hmm. And when you just kind of like send something off into the ether, it's like, hope for the best.
Yeah. And that's also one of the weird things about kind of being in like a Christian band, or, you know, a band that has significant Christian roots. It's like, well, we're trying to do ministry, and then we just kind of send it out into the void and like, hope these songs are kind of landing on people's hearts and souls, but you never really know. And it's actually really refreshing when someone comes up to you after a show or in an interview or whatever, you know, whatever the context is, and they say, this song really fed into my walk or whatever that might be, you know, because it's like, oh my gosh, look at that. It worked. Someone heard it and it blessed them, which is what this whole thing has been about in the first place, trying to write songs that honor God and will bless people and help people develop their walk.
I think we need to end this conversation here with a question.
Okay.
I've got to know the story behind the name Boiling Point, because there's got to be some sort of story behind that.
Yeah, there is. Do you have any guesses?
I mean, I know what happens when you boil water and, you know, the steam comes out and everything.
Well, it's a good effort. It's close. Yeah, Boiling Point has always been like a, I don't know, I probably overthought this a lot, but it's basically one very large metaphor, because at 212 degrees, water hits its boiling point and becomes a vapor, right? In the same kind of sense, Christians or people, basically, people when they come to meet Christ are radically changed because of that encounter. So in the case of water, water hits 212 degrees, like the molecules go crazy and are excited and basically change. While the chemical makeup is still the same, while it is kind of still the same thing, it's been like radically changed by this catalyst moment, right?
Yep.
In the same way, when we come to meet Christ, we're changed radically by this catalyst moment. We may look the same, yep, but our attitudes, our convictions, our decisions have radically shifted towards love and compassion and trying to be Christ's hands and feet to the world. The water metaphor is, you know, really further helpful, because water at its boiling point becomes a gas and is dispersed, right? And so likewise, when we come to know Christ, you know, I believe that we are called to disperse and go out and share that message of hope with other people. So it's just like this big, it's this big metaphor. And, you know, I don't know. I've always wondered if it's just such a terrible name that we should have changed it like 10 years ago, but you know, we just stuck with it and it's where it's at. And, you know, I hear that John Cooper doesn't particularly like the name Skillet. So I'm like, well, I'll take some solace in the fact that he doesn't necessarily care for that name. And I, Boiling Point's okay, but I think people don't always get a great impression of our music styles. But just on that, you know.
All I know is that I'm in for it. Whether or not it was overthought, we'll just put that conversation to bed. And it is what it is, and it's a great metaphor. So awesome. I'm all in for it.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. I appreciate the positive feedback.
Man, we appreciate you spending the time with us. And if you haven't already, go watch the Now miniseries.
Yep. Search it on YouTube, Boiling Point Band. Otherwise, you'll come up with a really terrible Wesley Snipes movie if you just search for Boiling Point or Randy Savage Macho Man videos where he reaches his boiling point, unless you want to see that, which is kind of exciting. But anyway, Boiling Point Band, Hope Lives Here, episode 1. You'll get there. It's 8 parts now, and you can kind of take a look at what we do in Africa.
Thanks for hanging out with us for this episode of the NRT Now podcast. Be sure to subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And special thanks to Neon Feather for providing our theme music. Make sure to check out newreleasetoday.com and our socials for more great content. See you next episode.